Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast hosted by Kendall and Jackie, and here we talk about everything horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, and the tropes. And we have new episodes released Tuesdays bi-weekly.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TerraNova_podcast. But also feel free to reach out through email at terranova.pod@gmail.com. And most importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Hello.
What's going on?
Nothing much, Donkey Kong. Hey.
I haven't heard that in forever.
This is what happens when you work with kids. You say the most cheesiest stuff ever. And
I mean, I guess that's better than saying lit every 10 seconds, so I'll take it.
Oh, God. No, they wouldn't say lit. They just say, oh, that's fire. Or they say that. No, what they say. I don't know what they say. They say something else. Either fire or I forgot. There's something they say. I don't remember what the fuck. My kids always say half things. I'm just
fire
like,
is a good one.
But they'd be saying something else.
I say fire is a good one, though. I've been saying fire since I was like 9 or 10. So fire is one of those good ones that just never go away. Keep coming back around. You know, some of that, a lot of language always comes back around, man. I mean, what is it? People say, well, fire is one thing, lit pretty much same thing. Shit, my mind blanking. But I know a lot of the slang that I used even in the elementary school, I see coming back around. So
or like,
shit full circle.
I just found out what cookie means. That was like, yo, I always hear my say, oh, that's, or that's cooked, oh, that's cooking. I was like, the fuck does that mean?
Let them cook.
Someone explained to me what that is. I was like,
let them cook.
Yeah, I finally know what that is. My kids say that all the damn time. I'm just like, what are you guys talking about?
You ain't see all the memes where people would be like, let them cook?
No, because I don't follow children. Ba-dum-bam. Yes, I'm calling all of you children.
Well, well, first of all, when you say it that way, it sounds creepy. And I don't follow kids either.
I mean, in the end, I feel like adults, we're just like, we're in grown bodies, but deep inside, we're all like five. You're still 5 year old. We're still 5 years old. All right, that's how I see it.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. I was literally ranting today to one of my friends about the first time I saw the Speed Racer movie and how it blew my fucking mind.
That was a good movie.
The live action one.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see it?
I did.
I could have sworn you saw it, because I remember you saying you didn't like
it. Well, it was just different. It's still good visually. It was, you know, a lot of visuals, a lot of graphics, a lot of bright and shining colors. It is what it is, but, I mean, it was okay for the times, you know.
Yeah.
Poopy.
Yeah, it was my shit. All the bright colors and shit. I felt like a kid in a music park. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining it to my friend, and he was like, damn, you was really hyped. I was like, bro, you have no idea. I was losing my mind sitting there watching that shit. I thought I was in the anime.
Ha ha ha! I'm actually disappointed he didn't do that, but it's okay.
Oh yeah, he didn't do that. That's one thing he did not do in the movie.
Nope.
They got everything else. They had the monkey. They had Christina Ricci as Trixie. They had the dad from the Flintstones, who played Fred Flintstone. He played the dad. I forgot the mom's name. Was her name Susie Bennett? I think it was, or Susie.
I don't remember.
Goddamn, I forgot her name. But I know. Yeah, the cast was great. I just really liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna probably rewatch it soon. Just a fun movie. But yeah, we ain't here for race cars, we're here vampire.
Yes. And before I get into the summary, I do want to give a nice shout out, because this whole thing would not have happened, this whole movie that we're gonna watch would not have happened for our amazing panelists that we had for our feminist and horror discussion. So a big nice shout out to Melissa, V. Castro, and Kai, because
yeah,
they're the ones that talked about this, and then I watched it, and this is my second time watching it, so shout out to y'all, because, yes, I get it now. We get it. So the film we're going to be talking about, the film we're going to be talking about is A Girl That Walks Alone at Night from 2014. It is a foreign film, particularly Persian.
Jackie, yeah. One thing for you hopping, actually, it just occurred to me. I want to do a quick shout out real quick, actually, to Violet. Oh, and we had her on a few times. Because that's what she been doing a lot of cool stuff. That's what she was working with Zack Snyder on his the Netflix movie that he's did, Rebel Moon. I think she wrote like the kind of world building story. She wrote the book for that, and so I think she's working on pretty much all the writing for that film. So I'm not sure. I don't think the movie specifically, but all of like the world building, like novels and stuff like that. I think she's working on it. That's super dope, because it's like we had a celebrity on here before she became a celebrity, and that's dope.
True. That is true. We had her a couple times on a podcast, so yeah, shout out to her doing her big thing.
Yeah.
If you guys have not, definitely look back. Look back to our episode where she was our guest and our Terra talk with her, because Violet really is an amazing person. She's an amazing writer. Check out her books. They're all on Amazon. Dope. And yeah. So, whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah.
Yep.
Miss Violet. Hi, Violet.
Sorry, I let you go into the movie.
Like, you know, I miss her, so. Hello, Violet. but yes.
Yeah, we'll bring her back. Yeah.
So, yes. A Girl That Walks Alone at Night, 2014. It is a Persian foreign film. It is directed by Anna Lily Emirpour. So I'm sorry if I got her last name wrong. Yeah, it's a very interesting film. It's shot in black and white, which is very interesting. And for those who may have never watched it before, the title is kind of like ironic. It's literally about a girl that walks alone at night. And instead of her being stalked or being a victim, she is the stalker in a sense. Like, she is the menace of the night. Where it kind of retells the story of a vampire in a sense, where she's this girl, she's roaming the streets at night of, you know, this place, or as they call the Bat City. And the Bat City,
yeah, the city is called Bad City. That's crazy.
Literally what it's called. The Bat City is literally filled with, you know, gangsters, drug lords, prostitutes and whatnot. So it's really not a great place for children, even though you only see one child with the whole entire film. And you're basically following this man called Arash, and you know, he's trying to get his life together. You know, his dad is an addict. He's having like quarrels a guy who supplies drugs. He's also a drug dealer, and he's also a pimp, because you know, he also has connections with this prostitute named Addie. And you know, he's making businesses, and you know, Arash is just like, yo, it's your fault my dad's an addict, it's your fault for this. And even Addie was just like, yo, I'm not getting the money I want, this is that. And he kind of makes her feel like shit about it, where he was like, well, I mean, you're old, you don't have it like that anymore, you know, what do you want me to do about it? Just do, you know, just do what you were asked for, just do your job. And all while this, the girl who doesn't have a name, just called the girl, is literally being, you know, in the background, just watching, being a little creeper. And you're like, what the hell? Who's this? And before you know it, boom, here comes the first victim. He takes her out. She takes him out, like, in the most like satisfying way as well, because she's following him. And of course, him being the sleazy man that he is, he's just like, hey, you know, come back to my place. Let's see what we could do about this. And, you know, he thinks, yeah, I'm going to get something.
Yeah, my man was crazy for that.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm going to get somewhere with her. And nope. He basically goes around, shows his fangs.
Exchange one word.
Yep. He shows her fangs, and then boom. Neck bit, takes his jewelry. He's like, I'm out. She even sees Arash. Arash, you know, I love how Arash didn't even question that shit. He was just like, why is she covered in blood? Whatever. He's just like, okay. I don't know. So the story pretty much follows both Arash and the girl. You're watching Arash live his daily life, you know, he feels like he's free because this guy is dead, so he's gonna try to get his dad to be clean, even though he's having withdrawal, like, you know, symptoms. He's kind of like, you know, scratchy, itchy. But then he kind of becomes a new drug lord, where he's applying with drugs, he's passing around, he's becoming this big hotshot trying to get money. And, oh, wow, you know, trying to impress these girls, trying to get with them, but he knows he can't. And he gets all his feels about it. And the girl, still just being whatever, stalking the night, she ends up coming across him at Halloween. And it is interesting how she didn't bite him, but instead they had, like, a interesting interaction. She takes him home because he's all fucked up. He's all drugged out his mind. And they're just vibing off music.
On a skateboard she stole.
Because he couldn't walk. He was just like, I'm going to sit here. She's like, you can't sit here. He's like, well, I don't know what to do. I can't get up. I'm drugged up. And then she's like, all right. And yeah, she takes them home. They play music, they hang around, and that's it. She never bites them. You know, again, the dad being the way he is, he's being all fucked up in his head. He's kind of being a dick to him. You know, he's asking him, like, where you been? Where are you? He's like, oh, I met up with a girl. I don't know her name, but she's cool. She's dope. And so while that's happening, again, she's walking around at nighttime. Comes across Addie, the prostitute. I believe his dad, Arash Dash, is trying to, like, get with her. And he's just like, hey, you know, come around. I want to do this with you. And she's like, you got money? He's like, nah. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't do freebies. Let me know when you get money. I'll come with you. But until then, go home. At her way, you know, she keys someone's car. Then she keys, like, Arash's dad car or whatever. And the girl's following her and then stops her. Addie's like, why are you following me? And then she gifts her Addie the guys, the fucking, like, drug lords that she killed, his jewelry. And she's like, where'd you get this from? Where is this from? And she's like, use it. You know, like, she was like, she's like, how long have you been following me? How long have you been watching me? And she was just like, well, I could tell you're unhappy. You don't like what you're doing. You lost your way. Let me see. There is something she said to her that I really fucking loved. And I forgot what it was. Oh, that how, like, she doesn't remember how to want. Like, she was telling Addie this. Like, you forgot what it feels like to want.
Yeah.
You forgot what it feels like for this. You forgot how what it feels like to be joy. Like, basically trying to Addie, like, hey, you could still have this. I'm totally down on what you're doing. I'm not going to stop you. But you forgot your way. You're not enjoying it anymore. You kind of forgot, you know, like, who you are while doing this. Which is very
interesting. Yeah, it didn't seem like she was judging her for her line of work. It seemed like she was more so just judging kind of her life, of like how she's kind of deciding to navigate it.
Yeah. So in a way, it was interesting. You know, I was just like, oh, okay. So after that interaction, you know, again, she lives her life. Arash, still smitten by the girl. He's just like, hey, can we meet up here? I want to talk to you. You know. He gives her these earrings that he stole because he was working. I think he's an electrician or he does something for a job. And he stole these earrings from this girl. And he was like, hey, these are perfect for you. They just feel fitted for you. And the girl was just like so confused. Like, the fuck? And he's like, I know you don't have ears pierced, but they would look good on you. And she was like, bet. Boom. Safety pin out of nowhere. As you know, she put a safety pin. She took a safety pin. I just realized that. She took her safety pin out of her hijab. She was like, boom, here, do it. Pierce my ears. And he's like, what? He's like, do it. And while he's doing it, her fangs come out. And then they have the most interesting interaction where it's like, you could tell he's smitten by her. You could tell he likes her. He bought her a burger. And he's like, oh, you don't like burgers? I never met anyone who doesn't like a burger. And I'm just like, if only you knew, boy. If only you knew. If only you knew. But, you know, she kind of tells him, like, I've done bad things, dude. Like, I'm not a great person. I've done really bad things. You know, and he was like, I've done bad things too, but it doesn't matter. Like, if we were like, what did he say? He was like, if we were like in a crisis or something, you think all that would matter? You think any of that would matter? Think anybody would care? Like, I don't care. But she still was just like, nah, you're not ready for this, and walks away. And then it leads into her second victim. Who happens to be Arash's father. He ends up getting enough money. He's doped up. He found some drugs somewhere. And got high. It's just fuck. He made the whole the thing. I forgot.
Addie.
Yeah, like he found Addie, but I forgot what it was. Heroin.
He made her take drugs.
Yeah, he basically got heroin. A cocaine or whatever. And he put the syringe. He was like, yo, let's do some drugs. Let's do this. And she's like, obviously she don't want it. So she's telling him, like, I don't want to do this. Get off me. Leave me alone. And him being persistent, so persistent, you know, he ties her up literally with the belt and just like, you're going to like this. It's okay. We'll have a moment. And at that very moment when that's happening, it's like, for some reason, the girl had like spidey senses and she was like, wait, my friend's in danger. I don't like this. I gotta go. And then out she comes in like Batman, drags him off the bed and literally kills him. Like literally bites the shit out of him. And this is the first time Addie sees that this girl is very different. And he's just like, oh, shit, you're a vampire. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, you got to go. Okay. And then they go. They take Arash's dad's body, just puts him in front of their doorstep. The little boy who's like, you know, a little chismoso who looks at everything. But like the girl kind of like freaked him out. She was like, you're a good boy or a bad boy? Basically threatening the child. I'm just like, ma'am, you gotta relax. But, you know, when Arash comes, he's like, who did this? What happened? How my dad died? What's going on? You know, he's telling the boy, like, tell me, what did you see? What did you see? He's like, I didn't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Because he's terrified of the girl. You know, with that, he just...
yeah, because she ran up on him earlier.
Yep. So with that, like, you know, he takes the drugs, he takes this, and he was just like, we gotta be out. He meets up with Addie. I mean, not Addie, the girl, and he was like, we gotta go. We gotta leave. Like, I don't want to go anywhere without you, so you need to come with me. Get a bag, let's pack, let's do this. So her being kind of confused, but she was like, all right. So she goes, she puts her hijab on, she puts her bag ready, he gets the jewelry, but then the thing that puts it together was the cat. So when Arash's dad went to see Addie, for some fucking reason, he took the house cat. I don't know why. I have no idea why. And so when Addie...
Oh, you said she took the house cat for no reason?
No, he brought the house cat to Addie's house. I don't know why he did that. I still don't know why he did that. But anyway, he was doped up in jail.
Oh, he did, because when Arash was kicked him out of the place, he was... what was it? Remember, he was having a freak out because he was looking at the cat. He was still having withdrawal issues.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at the cat, and then he said the cat's eyes remind him of Arash's mother's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, wrecked the whole place. And then that's when Arash came in and was like, bro, you doing too much. Like, you're supposed to be my father, and I'm taking care of you. Like, this isn't fair. And he was like, here. He gave him a bunch of money, and he was like, here, you could take it, get out, and take the cat with you for all I care. I don't even want the cat anymore. And that's why the cat
went. Okay. Yeah, because then the girl had the cat. Addie was just like, you have to leave and take that with you. And, you know, she's a cat. So the moment Arash saw the cat in the girl's house and saw the jewelry, he put two and two together. He was just like, you killed my dad. So it was you. So that's what you mean by you've been doing bad things. He didn't say anything, though. He said nothing about it. But they went to drive. They were driving. They stopped in the middle of nowhere. He got out, I guess, to breathe or think or whatever. And then he came back. And then that was it. They drove off to the distance together in a very romantic way. And I was like, oh, a boy and his vampire girlfriend. Where have we seen this before? Where have we seen that before? So romantic and cute. But yeah. So that is a girl who walks alone at night. Go ahead, Kendel. Because this is your first time watching it, right?
Yeah, it's my first time watching it. I think even when I put in the calendar, I was like, oh shit, I've never seen this. Let me put it in here. Which one great thing I still enjoy about us doing this podcast is just like occasionally throwing something in that I haven't seen or you haven't seen. You know, sometimes it's recommendation to you, sometimes recommendation to me. Like, it's just, I just love that because, man, it is hard to keep up with all the movies that come out.
Yes, it is.
And all the recommendations. So it was great that we have this opportunity to do it here. But yeah, no, it was interesting. I'm like, visually, the movie catches me off guard. Because I didn't know the entire movie was black and white. The only clip I've ever seen prior to this movie is the clip with her and the pimp when he, like, kind of caresses her face and then she shows her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only scene I've seen prior, so I didn't really know. I thought that was just, like, a snippet or something. I didn't know the entire film was black and white. So that kind of caught me off guard. I was like, oh, okay. Kind of makes it look like it's, like, an old-timey thing. And, you know, black and white just makes things a lot more dramatic, which is cool. So style-wise, that caught me off guard. But honestly, otherwise, like, I like the movie. I felt a little iffy on it throughout, but I think in part it was a part because I didn't know where the hell the movie was going. I didn't know it was romance. It was going to lead to, like, kind of this love story thing. I didn't know what the movie was going to be. I just knew it was a girl's vampire. I knew nothing else, which is always great, walking into movies and being completely surprised. So I was like, oh, that's dope. But, like, where the story was going, I had no idea where it was going because it seemed like she was stalking people at random. But then over time, it started to seem like her stalking wasn't random, just her victims were, and they were usually men, and I was like, oh, okay, specifically men who were doing crazy stuff. Like, even when Arash finally meets her for the first time, I was kind of worried for him.
Same.
I was like, bro, this girl been out here killing people left and right. Like, I don't know how she decides who the victim is, but this man should be careful. And then, you know, he was dressed up in a way, but for like, he came like a Halloween party or something, a costume party, so he was saying that he was Dracula. Which is kind of funny, you know, he's talking to a vampire saying that he don't know she's a vampire, of course. So that was kind of fun. But as the movie was like going on, and I was just like kind of like, you know, getting out of my head about the fact that I had unwarranted expectations of what the story was going to be, I was like, I could kind of see why this movie is like enjoyable. It gives me like a weird vibe of like kind of like an adult version of Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
It's like kind of seems like an adult version of that movie, which I forgot if that movie's like Swedish or something. It gives me like, yeah, it gives me the vibes of that. It also gives me the vibes of like Scott Pilgrim in a way, because the romance feels like unconventional, or like almost like Hollywood movie-ish, but like unconventional because obviously it's a vampire and a human, but it's not in the same way where it's like, you know, Twilight made it seem super dramatic with the whole, you know what I am and all of that shit. Like, we don't get any of that. It's just kind of like, yeah, you don't get any of that in this. It's just like, if you took away the fact that she was a vampire, it's just two people like awkwardly together, but not like awkwardly than like two people meeting for the first time. It's just that's what it is, right? When you're like, your feelings are first developing, it's a little bit awkward. And this movie kind of had that, but it did it like really stylishly. Like, I really liked the scene where she takes him back to her house for a lot of reasons. It was hilarious that he was like, I can't get up. And it was funny that she like put him on her skateboard that she stole from the little kid and like pushed him on it. That was cute as hell. And like, I was like, why is it? In my mind, I was like, why is this so cute? This is like really hilariously cute. And then her, when they're back at the house and she's like just playing music, and he like, this movie is like, does a lot of just long shots of scenes, like just, you just kind of sit in a frame for a while. That's like, this movie does a lot of that. And, you know, you get the wide shot of her messing with the music, him sitting on the bed, kind of like basically passed out, slowly coming to while she's just kind of in a trance state, kind of standing there with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like slowly getting off the bed and like going towards her, like not even really to like have sex or anything, because in this movie, I'm going to assume they didn't, because it's very the beginning of like everything.
Mm-hmm.
But just like kind of like really, I guess you could say sensual. Or sexual in a way, the way he was kind of approaching her, but like more so it was just like kind of almost like he couldn't believe he met somebody so cool. It was kind of that. And the way the music just kind of, the movie just had great music,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it did.
Which kind of reminded me of like Scott Pilgrim or like Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Like, it had really good music. It's like odd because it's kind of like, it's obviously a horror, but then it's a almost like borderline a romantic comedy in some ways.
Like a dark romance,
like the goofy comedy. Yeah, so it's like the style makes it honestly really interesting. And honestly, the coolest shit in the movie to me, period, is her fucking silhouette.
Yeah,
like the silhouette of her wearing the I think it's called the chador. Then he said that's what it's called. Like the silhouette of her wearing that with the striped shirt, the white shirt with black stripes, mm-hmm. is like so cool, like visually. And it's like one of the articles you gave kind of pointed it out perfectly, like the kind of living between two worlds. Like, her outfit even kind of gives you that vibe, because you have like the chador where you're used to seeing like, you know, Muslim women wrapped up, but then she also has like this striped white shirt, which almost gives you like a hint of like modern style. And she almost seems like she's wearing like Converses or Van-ish type shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like this really cute silhouette of like this person wearing like she's super tall too. She looks like she's maybe almost 6 feet tall or something like that, or like 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
And you have like this long like black silhouette that looks really cool when she's like standing in place, but then also when she's moving around at night, it looks almost like she's floating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the cool visual of her on the skateboard. Like, that shit looks really cool. This movie's like stylishly new and old, but like modern and traditional. It's like weird, but like really, really like stylistically cool.
Yeah. So this is my second time watching it. The first time I watched it, I think, was last year. I think I told you about that. I was like, oh, I'm gonna finally watch a girl that walks alone at night. Because, you know, again, it was thanks to our panelists that, you know, mentioned it all the time. We were talking about the feminist and horror. And it's funny because, like, in one of the articles I did, you know, share between us, I like how it actually intentionally was not meant to be a feminist movie. It kind of became that way with the way that Anna directed it and put it together. You know, where it's in a way, I love it the way they said in an article where they were like, in a way, like she's reclaiming the power of being a woman. Where that's why I said the title and the title alone is very ironic. Because I was telling a friend about that, where I was just like, a girl that walks alone at night is a very ironic title, because for women, we literally cannot walk alone at night. It is very dangerous for us. We're like, we're always in danger because, you know, men. So it's funny how she's walking alone at night and she's the danger. Like, she is the threat. She is the danger. You know, nothing can happen to her. She's the one, like putting fear. And again, her interaction with that little boy was kind of like, okay, what are you doing? Like, he's a child. What do you mean? Asking him, like, you're a good boy, you're a bad boy, freaking traumatizing a child. But, like, and one of the articles said that how, like, she doesn't hate men. She just doesn't like the injustice men are doing to women. Because, you know, the pimp treating Addy the way he did. You know, she's trying to tell him, like, hey, I'm not getting the same, you know, funds as I would before. I'm not getting the same club. I'm not getting this and that. And he was just like, because you're old. You're washed up. You're a hag. You know, you're not as good as you used to be because you're old. Even though this is a Persian film, I feel like that statement is so international, because even in the States, we always hear that a woman's worth changes when she ages. It's just like, oh, well, you're not as beautiful as you were when you're younger. You're not as active as you were when you were younger. You're not. It's always something where you're not as blank as you were when you were younger. And that's always a thing that hangs over women's heads all the time. So her interaction with the girl, I really loved that conversation she had with her, because she was just like, it's obvious you don't enjoy what you're doing. And it's not because, like, you don't like it. It's because of the way people treat you. That's what it is. And her trying to remind her, like, hey, you've forgotten what it feels like to be yourself. You've forgotten what this feels. You forgot how it feels to be wanted or how you want something. You know, and it's like, I like how when Arash's dad did come to see her, in a way, you kind of see a glimpse of how Addy does her job, how she works. And it's like, you kind of sense that she took what those words were into heart of just like, yeah, you're right. I kind of did forget. You see her dancing, doing her this and that to try to, like, you know, be sexy and attractive to this, you know, to this man. But yeah, and this, it's just very interesting, you know? So what you said about the whole, like, it looks old and modern at the same time, that was intentional. So Anna was going for a 1950s look, whereas, you know, Arash kind of looks like James Dean in certain parts with the way he dresses, with a leather jacket, with his hair pulled back. The music...
Good looking dude.
Yeah, and the music being played was very retro as well. And yeah, so that was intentional. She was trying to call back to, like, you know, 1950s, 1960s, and all while about making it modern as well. And it's just a really good film. It really is. Like, for her to take reclaim the power of, like, hey, I'm a girl that walks alone at night and I can do that, you know, or like trying to convince Addy, like, hey, you do you. I don't even guess what you're doing. But I don't like the fact that you forgot how to do your job. I don't like the fact that it's changed you. You know, like, hey, you can still be that person. And just trying to, like, take, yeah, like, her, not revenge, I want to say. I don't know if this will count as a revenge film, but more so of just...
I wouldn't count it as revenge.
Huh?
I said I wouldn't count it as revenge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's like Batman in a sense, where she's cleaning the streets of Gotham, but this time she just cleaned the streets of dirty, like, you know, nasty
a
men.
Bad city.
The bad city. But yeah, like, it's pretty clever. It's very smart. Again, the title alone is just like, it's very ironic. And I do like how, yeah, like, the romance between her and Arash is very, like, that's very unexpected, because you don't see, you're like, wait, what? Like, what? You know, like, you just met this girl from day one. Already you're smitten by her. Already you're entranced by her. Because even when she brought him back to the house and they're dancing and she puts his head back, I'm like, oh my God, is she going to bite him? Like, is she going to do it? But then you see him the next day eating breakfast with his dad. I'm just like, I was like, oh, okay. So he didn't bite him. He just left a nice imprint on him. Just like, yeah, I met this cool girl. I don't know her name, man, but she was awesome. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting, too, that she took her hijab off around him as well. Which I was just like, huh, that is very interesting. Because, you know, from what I know, so where I used to work at a while back, one of the teachers I used to work with, she's Muslim. So she actually told me more or less mm-hmm. about the whole importance of the hijab and how men, unless they're your family, cannot see you without it. So they're not allowed to see your hair. Unless they're your husband, your brother, your mm-hmm. dad, or whatever. So the fact that she took her hijab off in front of this person, someone she just met day one, like one night, has no idea anything about him. I was just like, huh, interesting. Wow. I'm not mad at it, but interesting.
This is what happened when Batman shows people he's Bruce Wayne. That's basically what that was. She was like, I'll take off my secret identity for a little bit.
Yes, now you know who I am. But yeah, like again, like it's very interesting. Like the fact that it's basically like I wanna say like this is definitely like a college type essay you could write about it. Like if this was part of like a whole like, oh, how we define feminism or all the stuff. Like, I do like how it's, in a way, like, it's a critique, you know, of how men and women are in this world. You know, like, men are misogynistic, they're nasty, they're gross, they're rude, they just see women as bodies, where women are just, you know, like, just used around, of like, oh, my only worth is to entertain men, my only worth is to sleep men, I'm worthless, but I can't do this, or I'm worthless because I'm aging, and I look how the girl simply, like, takes that, grabs it by the balls and just like, no, you don't. And I just love how she disrupts it, you know, where she's like, hey, I don't like this, so I'm gonna change it up. But yeah, interesting movie.
I found it interesting that she pulled homeboy with the same one outfit. She never changed. The whole movie, she had one outfit, her striped shirt, her garb, her jeans and like her Converse was like, that was just her outfit day in and day out. I was like, that's kind of dope.
Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. I really liked it. Again, the first time I saw it, which was last year, I was like, I get it. I get why it was talked about and why it's up there in the feminist of horror genre, along with Jennifer's Body, Ginger Snaps, and you know, Teeth, and all those other films, because like it makes sense. I get it, and it's still funny how like that wasn't meant to be a feminist movie. It really wasn't. Like that wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
So it's very funny.
Hey, happy accidents, man. Happy accidents.
There's no such thing as happy.
And look, they end up making a character.
Yep. There's no such thing as mistakes. Just what? Happy what little accidents. Say? Yeah. Like there's no mistake. Just happy little accidents.
Exactly.
Get, you know, dab the brush, you know, go boop, boop, boop.
Exactly. Exactly that. So, you know, they did a good job. Like, the movies, like I said, I was confused because I didn't know what the hell I was getting into. So, I was just like, I just knew there was a vampire involved. I knew nothing beyond that. I didn't even consider, like, that there could be, like, a comical element or anything like that. But it's cool, man. The movie, like, feels really cool. And, like, having, like, you know, being able to watch the whole experience and then now sit back, like, man, this movie's, like, oddly cool. Like, I know people love everything to be Oscar-worthy, this and the third, but it's kind of, to me, it's kind of nice when something is just, like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie just, like, feels cool. Like, the characters feel not over the top to the point where it's, like, detrimental to the story or anything like that, but they're, like, they do what they're supposed to do. Like, you know, the pimp/drug dealer dude is, like, the over-the-top crazy character you borderline expect for some shit like the Warriors or something. Like, he has extreme crazy tattoos. He drives around in a nice car. He took Arash's car for his dad's debt and was just like, fuck it, it's mine. Like, the dude's just like kind of as extreme and ridiculous as you would expect. But then everyone else is like a little more subtle, but they just kind of fit. And it just, yeah, the movie just has a weird style. It just has a style to it that feels like unique. I was actually kind of thinking about Sin City a little bit when I was watching the movie too. I was like, damn, it's just so much shit going on in the city. I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to call the city Sin City instead of Bad City, because there was just so much shit going on in the city. Seemingly nothing good. So it was like, yeah, it's cool to watch a movie where it's just like, shit is like cool. And the movie, the music was so fucking good. Like, I'm downloading all of these songs. The music was so, the music was so good. Like, every time the music played for any scene, I was just like, you know, you just have a character just sitting there almost like, clearly this movie was inspired, of course, by like American films as well. Mm-hmm. There's definitely that shot at the end where Arish and the girl are just sitting in the car with the cat in between them and the music's just playing and they're just sitting there like not saying anything to anybody.
Yeah.
Totally reminded me of like Pulp Fiction a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yes.
But yeah. But that frame was just like so funny to me. Like, you know, with him coming to the realization that like, yeah, she definitely most likely killed your dad and took the cat. But like he was basically like, I'm not even gonna talk about it. Like, he kinda lived up to what he said. You've done bad things, I've done bad things, it is what it is. And it was kinda like, what matters is the here and now. That's kind of what he said. He ain't say that, but that's basically what he said by his body language. And I just found that framing so funny, though, because you get the cat kind of looking around and walking up and down the seats, and they're just kind of sitting there, like, not talking about, like, she does know that it was his dad, but you just get that they're just not talking about something, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. And it's just, like, a really, yeah, the film is, like, super stylishly cool, man. And that, honestly, that'd be probably be the main reason I'd rewatch it. Style-wise, it's just, like, super cool. It has some really, really nice, like, close-ups of the characters, and just, the girl does not have many lines. She, like, occasionally talks. She does not have many lines, and she does not give speeches or long dialogues. So a lot of that actress's work had to be through facial expressions, and I would say she did a pretty good job. But, yeah, this movie's just style-wise cool as fuck, man. It's really cool.
It's interesting because, like, one of the articles has said that how you would think that the girl is, like, the main protagonist, but really Arash is the protagonist. And how the girl, in a way, she's just like a vigilante. She's going around, you know, taking out these dudes to clean the city of all his impurity. So it is interesting, you know? Like, and like you said, like, she doesn't have a lot of lines. She really doesn't. She barely talks. She doesn't show anything. And it is it's not even just facial expression. It's her presence. Her presence is the character.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much of her just appearing, it's like her presence. Just her standing there alone is just taking up the whole room, taking up the whole space. And she does nothing.
Yeah.
She does nothing. All she does is walk, and that is it. She just walks behind you and follows you and stares at you, and that's it. Bites you, and she's done. She's off. Off to her room to do some, you know, her little dancey dance, and that's it. And off to the same thing the next day. You know, like, that's literally all she is. But I just love the fact that, and it's funny because, like, not many movies can pull that off. And, like, you know, we talk about presence. I mean, Michael Myers, Jason, you know, their presence are the character and they say nothing. The same thing with Leatherface. Their presence is the character. They say, says no words. So, like, it's very rare when movies can pull that off and still keep you entertained, even though there's no words, no dialogue. But they do it really well, you know? Like, she did her part when it came to the boy, you know? She scared him so much that when Arash was asking him, like, I know you know something. Who killed my dad? Who did this? And he was so terrified to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I saw nothing. I didn't see anything. And it's just like, it's just interesting, you know, like, even the first time you see her and you see the pimp, you know, having Addie do, like, you know, her service to him, he freaks out. He's like, yo, what the hell? Like, what the fuck? You know, it's Addie, blah, blah, blah. Like, in a way, and I wrote in my notes.
That black silhouette staring at me.
Yeah, but not even that. I wrote in my notes. I was just like, I feel like she is that city's boogeyman. She is that city's, like, Batman. You know, like you know how in Batman, they're like, oh, the bat signal's out. Oh, we got to be careful. We can't do this because Batman's around. It's like that. It's just like, okay, if I'm doing something, is she going to appear and take me and bite me? Is she going to take me out? So I like how, in a way, like, she's like the boogeyman of Bat City, where she's approaching these men like, not all men, but majority of the men who are treating women like shit and then just taking them out. Like, it's just so interesting how she becomes that moment, like, that icon, you know? Like, that, yeah, like, that whole, like, oh, be careful. You don't want to have her get you, you know? Because I'm sure people have talked about, like, hey, there's a lot of men missing. I don't know what's going on. Which also is ironic as well.
Yeah.
And that also, I love how they flip it, because usually women are the ones that are always gone missing, especially when it's a town that's just like filled with drugs and prostitution. If a prostitute gets killed and missing, no one cares. Like, well, she knew what she was getting into. It's her job, you know? So it was interesting how, yeah, like, now the men were the ones going missing and being killed. You know, and then not to say that how it doesn't matter, you know, of course, you know, men do get killed by women all the time.
No, I get what you mean.
Which is still, like, you know, terrible in itself. But, you know, femme fatale, but I like how, yeah, in a way she is a femme fatale. And I like how, like, it's just so ironic. It's the irony. It's the flip around. You know, it's a switch up of just, like, yeah, again, like, she...
There weren't any missing signs for these people.
Yeah, like, you know, she is, again, she's just this girl, a random girl, fucking doing nothing, just walking the streets. We don't know who her parents are. We don't know where she's from, where she, you know, we don't know anything. And she's just roaming the streets, carefree, just like chill, no threat. No one could take me. No one can hurt me. You know, instead of like the women being taken, the women being attacked, the women, no, like, she's like a protector, because she also was in a way protecting Addie, where she was like, nah, man, like, not her. You know, like, do not touch my friend. So it's just, again, like, I just love how smart this movie is. Like, I really enjoy the fact that it's very smart.
Yeah, same. Like, it is a slow burn. So if anybody who's going to watch it, if you're not into slow burns, I would not recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is definitely a slow burn, especially if you're impatient and you're just like, where the hell is the story trying to take me? Which is, I will not lie, that was me for definitely the first few minutes outside of a few elements. I was kind of like, yo, where's this fucking going? Like, I didn't even expect the movie to open up on Arash. I thought it was going to open up on the girl. I can see what you're saying. Like, Arash is the main character. But, you know, based on the title, you come in like, nah, the girl is the main character. She is a main character. But in reality, like, Arash is the main character. So it's like, you know, so it's a push and pull. And until, like, their worlds collide and you're kind of like, oh. This is where we're at. Okay. This is cool. And yeah, man, it's just didn't expect the coming of age vampire story with, like, basically young adults who were probably like in their early 20s or something. Because she definitely looked young and he looked fairly young too. Are we like mid 20s or something like that? Like, they aren't exactly in high school. That wasn't the movie I expected to be. I didn't expect this, like, unusual love story that, like, makes sense in, like, a really weird way. Like, you know, he was never, like, pushy with her or never, like, did anything where you kind of go, oh, she about to kill him. It was like, dude kept it, like, relatively chill. And it wasn't even, like, due to anybody telling him anything. Like, you know, he didn't seemingly have to be given, like, a long speech by his dad or something about, like, you know, the value of women or anything. He just kind of was just, like, soft with her. It just kind of worked. I'm guessing, like, probably, like, despite his dad being an addict, his dad was probably, you know, relatively nice with Arash's mom, so I guess he probably just took some of those traits and left the bad behind. The addiction part was kind of hard for the movie, like, even though they didn't, like, harp on it in the sense of, like, only other example I could think of right now is, like, the movie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen Ray?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I love that movie. Jamie Foxx did his thing in that movie, but dear Lord, is it kind of hard to watch a lot of those scenes where he's, like, taking drugs, because that man was going through it in that movie. So this movie isn't as grim with it. Like, you know, you get the withdrawal, you get to see the withdrawals, you get to see, like, you know, the problems that could come with living with someone who has addiction, even if you, like, care for them, you're trying to help them out. You see all of that. Luckily, it's not as grim as, like, the movie Ray, but still definitely the point still hits, right? You still get it. Like, his dad's dealing with a thing. You could assume because of the mom not being there, we could only really assume, like, the mom passed. I wonder if she passed due to addiction as well. It seemed to be possibly hints of that, but I'm not 100% sure. Because, like, the dad did hire the girl, Addie, to you know, he made her dance for him, and then he also wanted her to take drugs with him, so it was like a together experience thing. Who knows? Maybe that's how him and the mom used to get down, or maybe this is just something that the dad has taken on since the passing of the mom. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, dude was definitely going through it in this movie, so it was like, yeah, really interesting. You have a love story, you have a story of addiction, you have a story of like a city that seemingly can't do anything right, and just kind of like the inhabitants of that, and like, yeah, how does that look? Like that, yeah, you're right. The scene where she approached the little boy and was kind of like, "Are you a good boy?" and all of that, and like kind of shaking him and kind of like really asking him diligently, and was just like, "Yo, if you ever go bad, I'm watching. I'm gonna come get you." And for a moment, I was kind of like, "Damn, what this little kid do?" Mm-hmm. I was like, "What the fuck did he do?"
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't know how old she is. She could have probably seen enough to know. If these are the examples of how he's seeing men around him treat women, he can grow up to believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why she thought the threat was necessary. So, and I'm pretty sure that's probably the exact reason. She didn't just pick him because he was a kid. She's probably just like, boys become men that do these things, not vice versa. So let's chop it off now, which is interesting and also true, right? Like, you know, a lot of times in real life, people who end up men who are in certain situations, they usually inherited it from the men in their lives, right? But they're just like, oh, I was around men who always did A, B, and C, so I do A, B, and C. Or I maybe didn't want to do C, but I do A and B, right? Like, I always saw my mom being hit, so I thought hitting women were okay. Or I always saw that womanizing was the best way to be happy, so I was like, why would I ever be with one person if I could just want, like, people do inherit these behaviors when they see them modeled in their lives. So I could, yeah, that was kind of how I viewed her approaching a kid in that way.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's very smart. It's a very interesting movie. Interesting take on the vampire title. Interesting way that, again, it's so funny how like it's unintentionally a feminist movie, which is it's so funny. And yeah, like it's dark romance. It's a dark romance movie. You know, underneath commentary of the injustice of women by the hands of men, with an ironic a title. Like, I just love that. Like, it's just like, it's fucking brilliant. Like, she did her thing. Like, Anna did her thing with this movie. It's very smart. And to film it in black and white,
yeah,
with like nods to like 1950s aesthetic and all this stuff, like, it's just very interesting. You know, and then, you know, of course, it's a foreign film. Which, you know, of course, there are people out there who was just like, "Wow, I like my movie in English." Read. Learn to read. Okay. I'm sorry you don't know how to read.
That's how they sound, Jackie.
Like, well, I can't wait for that this to be Americanized. Sound, so. Like, shut up. Okay. Read.
Yeah. No, I definitely, like, the subtitles are not an issue at all. Like, it's just not, especially for this movie where it's not like super dialogue heavy. Like, obviously there's talking, but it's also a lot of like framing shots and living in the frame of those shots for like maybe 30 to 40 seconds longer than you normally expect.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like a quick cut movie by any means. Like, even with a lot of the quote unquote action where she's like attacking someone, these aren't like quick cut scenes. It's like, nah, you're gonna have to live with the terror in this room. And that's all a style choice, which is like really entertaining. I'm definitely going to look for this director to see more things that she's worked on, because this movie is so cool style wise and probably the biggest thing I walk away with from it is like the style of it was really interesting, and seeing someone merge and blend genres in this way is like really cool, man. That's, you know, sometimes it's cool to see somebody just like work out their brainchild, and this movie feels like a passion project in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
It feels also like something where you kind of go, I don't even know how this got made, but I'm happy it did get made. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, though, yeah,
I definitely agree.
Because, it feels like that.
Yeah, because like what you said with the blending of genres, that is not easy to do. Not many people can pull that shit.
Not at all.
It's very difficult to do, because for one, you don't want to overwhelm the audience. You don't want it to feel too heavy, and then you're just like, all right, what the fuck am I watching? What am I watching? You know, like, what am I watching? What is this? But she did it in a way that it flows so well that, yes, the hint of romance is spontaneous. You don't expect it. But it's like, it's like relaxing, where it's just like, oh, okay, we're having a moment where she's not killing people. He's not dealing with drug addicts.
Yeah.
It humanizes them, where it's like, oh, and at the end of the day, they're just regular kids. They're regular, like, you know, teens or, like, young adults that yeah. just trying to, like, live their life, you know? He's trying to live his life, trying to get out from where he is. And she's just like, I'm just cleaning the streets of Gotham. But, like, hey, you're entertaining. You know, you're not like the other guys. And he's like, you're not the other girls. Like, there's something cool about you. And it's just interesting. And then underneath that, you have the drug addiction part. You have, you know, the prostitute part. You have the drug. Like, it's just interesting how, like, it's multiple things happening, but it all relates to each other. It's not like three different stories and you're just like, all right, what the hell am I watching? What is this? This makes no sense. No, it makes sense. You know, everything is connected to each other. And, you know, again, yeah. like, that is not easily done. So she did her shit when she did this movie. So props to Anna for that, because she did her thing for that.
Yeah, facts. 1,000%, yo. Props to her on pulling from all of these references and trying to make a movie work. And, yeah, props to her on the style shit. I'm never going to get that visual in my mind of, like, a vampire riding a skateboard. Wearing that garb, I'm never going to forget that, because I was like, this is just so cool. And I just love when shit is cool, so I'm never going to forget that. I was like, that's dope. It's like, that's gonna definitely be playing in my mind for a while. And then the poster, of course, as well, because the poster had like a nice like visual style to it, where it's just, the poster obviously has more of an intimidating look because you get the silhouette of her wearing the garb, but at the same time you get like a kind of like the spooky teeth a little bit. It makes it obviously a little bit more creepy looking. But, like, seeing her, she, like, borderline looks innocent, which, of course, is the main reason why she's able to navigate in and out of the spaces that she does. Because people are like, oh, look at this woman, unsuspecting, non-dangerous. And the next thing you know, you fucking ate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's dope. The movie's cool, man. This movie's cool. And I love the idea of, like, vampires. I love vampires in general. Me and Jack talk about, we love vampires as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we love vampires. I love the whole idea of a parasite essentially feeding on other parasites. That's what, like, you know, people in these spaces are. A pimp is a parasite. Like, they just are. Shit, you could make the same argument for politicians and other people who just, like, leech and feed off, like, I guess you could say the negativity or even the pains of communities and societies. Like, he's a parasite. And then, of course, a vampire is. The vampire has to be a parasite to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Except in this case, the vampire kind of chose to be very specific about what they were going to have a parasitic relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, super interesting. I thought that was really cool. Like the idea of like her being that parasite, but then also somehow kind of like being the goodness in someone's life who's like seen all this bullshit. Because it's basically like he grew up in a hood, essentially. That's kind of what they're essentially saying. The dude grew up in a hood, found love in a place that people thought love could never be found. And then now he's just like, are we together, yo? Yeah, you probably murdered some people. I'm pretty sure you killed my dad, but like, fuck it. We've done bad things. Like, get out of here. He's like, he didn't. Which I know sounds weird, it sounds weird to say, but it's like, not that his dad was the worst person, because clearly he was dealing with addiction, but it's also kind of like, I think a part of that with Arash was kind of like, I mean, like, my dad brought some of this on himself. Mm-hmm. Like, I know addiction is a problem, and people have to go to therapy and a lot of things doing it, but it's just like, man, if it, seemingly by the time he threw him out, it was just like, bro, if it wasn't one issue, it was the other. Either you ain't got no money, or the drug dealers coming to talking about you've been taken and you ain't never paying him. So then now he's trying to take shit from us because you never pay him for your addiction. He's taking shit from me because you don't pay him for your addiction. You just do your thing and just act like it ain't a problem for anyone else. And I give you money to get the fuck out of here because you don't know how to act. And then you go right back. It wasn't even 2 days. It was like a day. You go right back to doing the same shit that was the reason why I kicked you out to begin with. And then now you're dead. And like, I'm mad and I'm sad because you're my pops, but at the same time, bro, how many issues and problems can you keep bringing our way? And I think that's like kind of why it was easy. I know it was tough, but that's probably why he was like, yo, I'm gonna just forgive her. I ain't even gonna talk about it. I'm gonna just forgive her.
Yeah. Because again, like, it was just so like, but that moment when he saw the cat, I was just like, now he knows. she's the one that did it. Because he was so, of course he was sad. Because again, he was like, who did it? Who did this? You know, he's like yelling, like, who did this to my dad? And, you know, him being so overwhelmed and the first person he thought to go to was her. Of just like, we gotta go. Pack your shit. We're leaving. You know, because, I mean, it's funny how, like, it took one day for him to be like, you know what? I'm smitten. I like her. I don't know anything about her. I don't know her name, but I like her, you know? And obviously, exactly.
She was the coolest girl in the community.
Yeah, and obviously, she saw something in him as well, because even though, like, the interaction, she's never, not once, bit him. Not once. And I think it's because even though he was, like, drugged up at the Halloween party, he didn't see her as just a body. He just saw, what are you doing alone at night? Like, where are you traveling? Like, kind of dangerous. You shouldn't be here. Like, are you okay? Like, you know, trying to wrap her up. He's like, yo, you're cold. Let me make you warm. And she was just like, what? You're not trying to sleep with me? You're not trying to, like, lure me? Like,
what is this, kindness?
Like, you actually see me? And I know it sounds funny, but, like, that actually really does happen. Like, you have no idea how often even my big friends I know, or even just women in general, when they meet that person who's just like, whoa, you see me as a person? Who sent you? Who sent you? Like, this is a lie. This isn't real. Because we're just so in disbelief of that. Where, you know, like, a lot of these horror movies where women are always essentially killed for being promiscuous, killed for just showing too much leg, you know, these killings are always for the male gaze. And it was funny how Anna took that and weaponized it. I love that, you know? And, you know, even in that culture, you know, a lot of people, I know how people who don't understand the culture of, like, people who wear hijabs or any other garment that women wear, like, oh, but she's to cover up. That is a religious tradition that they have to wear, you know? But even then, you hear horror stories from these women who are covered from head to toe, and they'll still be like, yeah, I still got hit it on. I still got this. People were still hit, like, you know, trying to talk to me, trying to assault me, trying to lure me, this, that still fucking happens. So it's interesting how, like, when I say, oh, she weaponizes the woman gaze, and I'm sure someone who is very, I don't know, ignorant and stupid as fuck, I'm sorry, but I'm just gonna say how it is. We're like, well, I don't get what you mean, because she was covered head to toe. Again, women who dress like that because of their traditions, they still have horrific stories of men being men. It does not matter. So again, I love that she weaponized a woman's gaze, the woman's gaze. I love that, the man's gaze. I'm just like, yes, I'm this girl. Look at me. I'm walking alone at night. I hope nothing happens to me. No, she just used that shit of just like, haha, jokes on you, you know? And I just love that. It's fucking brilliant. It's genius. And so, it's, again, like, I like how the fact that he saw her for her. Like, who the fuck is this random girl? She's cold? Yeah. She's alone? What's wrong with you? You know? And then, it's like, it gave her type of warmth, and it kind of humanized her. It's just like, oh. You know, like, she's not a monster. She's not really a bad person. She's just doing her thing. She's just trying to rid the world of, like, wicked men in the bad city, you know? But, yeah, like, it's just, this movie is just, I just fucking love this movie. Again, I understand. I get why they were just like, no, that movie is amazing. You guys should watch it. And I was like, yeah, it is good. It has this, you know, a thing. Again, this is why we do the podcast, guys. We don't just do the podcast just to be like, this movie was great. This movie was fun. No, because from those who have been listening to us since day one, which we love you all. I appreciate for those who've been listening to us since day one.
Yeah, we're,
you know, that we talk about the social commentary of these movies, and this movie has so much social commentary. And again, it's that flip of like, I am not the victim, you are the victim now. And I just love that. Like, it's just so fucking good.
It really is, man. It's a, like I said, it's a fun movie. It's a fun style wise a really cool movie. Like, knowing what I know now, I enjoy a lot more. I didn't have any of the context that Jackie had coming into it, so I was just kind of like, this movie's a little weird. but I kind of like it. I think. Let me keep going, because it was like I never felt like I was bored or like turned off by what I was watching. I was just kind of like, I don't know where the fuck this is going. And and you know, sometimes that's a good feeling, sometimes it's a bad feeling. In this case, it was a good feeling. So I was kind of like, I'm intrigued. Let's see where this goes. And yeah, I'm definitely down for that, man. One of the coolest modern vampires I've definitely ever seen. Yeah, really, really unique tale overall. And yeah, no notes for me. I might actually revisit it pretty soon, because there's some aspects of it I want to like enjoy a little bit more. I can totally see like her look being like somebody's Halloween costume, because it was just so like straightforward. It kind of reminded me of like girls that I even knew in like high school or something like that, who dressed pretty similarly. Not the garb, of course, but I mean like everything else, like the look. And yeah, just vampires riding skateboards, man. That's how we do it out here.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was just so good. It was so good. And it's nice to see a cast that, of course, again, Kendall and I are people of color. So we are always for, when it's a cast, an all cast of people of color, we always fucking love it. We're here for that. And so it's refreshing. Yep. It's refreshing to see a whole different culture, a different side of it. Because again, who would have thought? A girl with a hijab? With the whole like garb that she's a vampire?
On a skateboard?
What? Like, what?
Picking up guys, just being cool.
Yeah, having her red lipstick and just being like, hey. It's like, what? Who would have thought? Not me.
Not me.
But it's definitely cool to see that. You know, it's good to see that culture shown in that kind of light. It's very interesting. And I'm sure a lot of women, especially Persian and Iranian women, were just, or, you know, Muslim women were just like, you know what? Me too. Fuck yeah. I'm going to be a vampire too. And just run around and freaking like, be like, yeah, fuck you to men. You know, because again, like it's great when you see that, where women are the lead. Women are the ones that are like doing all this stuff that mostly is given to the role of a man. So it's always refreshing. It's always nice.
Yeah, but, yeah, sure, definitely. And horror is only, and in my opinion, the best genre to see that, because this really is women's genre. It's y'all genre. I always tell women that it's like horror is y'all genre at the end of the day. Like, I grew up watching it, but it's definitely, in my opinion, a genre that's heavily about women.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, but just be careful, man. Don't be doing something shitty. Otherwise, the girl might be popping up and be like, are you a good boy or a bad boy? On her skateboard.
Shaking you and shit, grabbing your face.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yo, I started crying, too. I'm whatever you need me to be, lady. Just stop harming me.
Take my skateboard. I'm good.
I'm good. But yeah, I think to find this movie, I rented it on Apple TV, which has actually been pretty reliable lately. So that's good to know. I don't know where else you can find it. I haven't found it anywhere else. But yeah, I ended up watching it on Apple TV. Where'd you watch it?
I watched it on Amazon, which I also rented it on. So for those who may want to watch it, you want to check it out, it is available on Apple TV and Amazon Prime. So those are the places you can watch it. It's available for rent. And yeah, if you guys ever seen the movie before, definitely let us know. Again, we love to have discussions with people. We love having horror talks with people. It's literally our fucking thing, man. It's our thing. We just love it because we're horror nerds. We love this genre. But yeah, any last words?
Check out this movie. That's really it.
Yes. Otherwise, the girl will come in the shadows and ask you, are you a good boy or a bad boy? But yeah, so again, definitely check it out. It is worth the watch. It is so good. It is so fun. It's so interesting. And again, shout out to our feminist and horror panelists. So Melissa, Violet, Kai, thank you. If it wasn't for y'all, this movie would have not made it to the trials of our to-do list. So thank you for that. Yeah. But with that.
All right. Take us out, Jack.
Yes. See you guys next time. Ooh, ghosts. Goodbye.